Hi, everybody. Today is Wednesday, June 4th, 2025, and our friend Andrey Martyanov is back with us. Welcome back, Andrey.
My pleasure.
Andrey, let's start with the breaking news, the phone call between the President of the United States and the Russian President, Vladimir Putin. And Donald Trump said that he didn't know about the attack, Ukrainian attack on Russia. What is your understanding, if he's not aware of what has happened, what is the role of the President of the United States that is the main player in what's going on in Ukraine?
Well, he's lying. Let's start with that. He was on it from the get-go. It's clear as, you know, what is the day. And there are a number of, so to speak, ramifications if we want to go into this rabbit hole, you know, trying to analyze or rationalize his movements. But you have to understand, and even the tone of the, well, narration, if you wish, or there will be no printout, obviously, of the real conversation there. And the fact that he called Putin, obviously, Vladimir Putin, had no interest of discussing anything with him. And after his statement today, and you probably heard what Mr. Putin stated, including the fact that those people who support Kyiv regime, which is now defined purely as terrorist regime, are accomplices. That means that United States is accomplice in that terrorist activity. So, and if Mr. Trump thinks, which he does, that he's smarter than everybody else, well, I have a bridge to sell him. And judging, well, you have to understand even the verbiage of Trump. He has a very limited vernacular. And when he says something like, oh, we have a wonderful, incredible discussion, that means what? Something could have been discussed which had any value. When he says that it was good conversation, that means he was told just to go to pound sand and nothing changes. And again, many people do not understand. I already elaborated on this yesterday in my video and wrote the memorandum which Russians presented to Ukraine. Not only it is ultimatum, okay, whatever you, but it's memorandum to Mr. Trump. And if he doesn't understand what is going on, it's his problem. But it looks like, as always, which is very characteristic of Trump, he lost control of his administration, or probably he never had it to start with. And he is being played as a fool that he is, because he has zero background in understanding the strategy and especially the military aspect of it. He was and still is played by all kinds of neocons, including this moron, Kellogg, you know, who won't be allowed to, you know what, to sweep the floor in any Russian army barrack, but he's a general, you know. And judging by the absolute tsunami, if you wish, you know, the tidal wave of the so-called information, which comes from the primarily Kyiv. They still believe that Russia sustained, like, you know, million casualties. Evidently, Ukraine destroyed the third of the Russian strategic bomber force, so things of this nature. So Putin's regime is about to fall, okay? That's how they operate in the White House, and that tells you practically what I've been on record for a long time. Those people who run the whole thing, including U.S. military, especially its top brass, they're incompetent people. They don't know what real war is. They don't understand operational planning. They do not understand technology, modern technology. And as a result, we have what we have. And Mr. Putin already went on record today. And this is pretty much, I don't know how else you can describe it. But yes, United States is accomplice in the terrorist activity in Russia.
We know that they didn't talk about memorandum that was prepared for the negotiations between Russia and Ukraine. I would wonder what Donald Trump can provide to the current situation in Ukraine. Do we know what can he offer to Vladimir Putin? Because you see the way that he's somehow handling the situation. I don't know if we can say that he's handling the situation. He's just Witkoff is not there. Donald Trump is, nobody knows what he's doing right now. And he says in the phone call, he tries to not only talk about Ukraine, but Iran, the talks, the nuclear talks between Iran and the United States, which we know at this particular moment is of second importance for Russia. Russia right now wants to know what Donald Trump wants to do in Ukraine. Who's, do you see that these sort of important issues were discussed in this talk between the two presidents?
Trump is afraid to go and attack Iran because it can, let me put it this way. His presidency is over. It's over, okay? It's just that the guy still doesn't get it. You won't expect from the man with extremely low culture. He's extremely badly read. He doesn't have class, you know. So he is a classic, he's a showman and New York real estate shyster. So expecting anything of this man, understanding, grasping of the international relations, history, things of this nature, you already saw yourself what is happening for the last 5 months since his, tenure. And it's complete disaster. And in this respect, everything what he knows, he lives in the alternative universe. No matter what kind of steps he takes, he doesn't have toolkit, intellectual toolkit, including the human toolkit to understand what is going on. And memorandum is for him. Memorandum is for the United States, because United States, and today it was reiterated by Vladimir Putin, that the main curator, he could have done so much. He did nothing, absolutely nothing. He could have stopped the military aid. He never did it. Now, of course, today there is a thing. Yeah, they still, this kindergarten in Washington, D.C., they still pretend that they can play their, ambivalence, this strategic ambiguity, because you have the bunch of the humanities dumbed down morons from the Ivy League who run the show, and they think that they know anything about war, real economy, let alone Russia as a state and nation. They don't. And as the result, again, 5 months into his, essentially almost 5 months, nothing has been done. No restoration of this direct flight between United States and Russia. No restoration of the consulates, pardon me. So it's just, the guy is there just for the ride. He doesn't control anything. He doesn't know what he will say next moment. And I think that this chaotic and often desperate movements are essentially manifestations of what is happening in the United States as a whole, especially when they consider the fact that Elon Musk left and he is, he's swinging. I don't like Elon Musk. I know he's a shyster, in every respect. He's not an engineer. He's not a real engineer, but at least on the platform that they were running with Trump, one of their promises was, apart from which, of course, they failed of to, balance budget, let alone stop, the progression towards the national debt, was to cut down the, Pentagon expenses. Well, we know what is happening now. So, I mean, the guy is just simply... I mean, I don't know. He's hollow. He's an empty suit. He's just there for the ride and, massaging his ego. And he is not capable of running the country. He's simply inadequate. He's unqualified. I don't think he ever was. And whoever runs, he's now been, kind of kicked in the corner as a child, which he is essentially. He's a grown-up child. Into the corner by the neocons and all kinds of the, bureaucracies in the Washington, D.C., and he will be staying there. He will be presented with a fait accompli and said, oh, this is what we have. He has Kellogg, the guy's moron, actually. Militarily, he's incompetent, but he runs the show now. Okay? Trump wanted it, so Russia will oblige. And Vladimir Putin already stated today everything we needed to know.
One key issue that Vladimir Putin raised in the talks between the two presidents and also in his communication with the government in Russia, he said that the attacks, these terrorist attacks in the Kursk and Bryansk, they were designed to sabotage the talks in Istanbul. They wanted, Ukrainians were doing everything to sabotage the talks because they wanted Russia to move and just get away from the talks and negotiations, which Russia didn't decide. We know that, how mature they're going to behave in such extreme events that are happening. But when it comes to, as you've mentioned, the memorandum, the terms that Russia is putting on the table, they're all aimed at the United States and the foreign policy of the United States. I don't know why they do want Zelensky, who is in power in Ukraine, who doesn't want to lose his position in Ukraine, to negotiate on something that he's not capable. He's not anywhere close to what Russia is asking for.
Well, Mr. Medinsky yesterday went on the record. I put the video of his communicating with the Russian news agencies. And this is what he said. We spoke to Ukrainians, he said, before meeting, officially for less than an hour meeting. Basically, Russians presented them conditions for surrender. But Ukrainians told him, not obviously those guys wearing insignia of the SS division, 6th Infantry SS division, that's who those people are, who United States and Britain and Europe support. But he said they openly stated, and Medinsky quoted them, said, "You are lucky, you have only one boss. We have three." And that means that what any kind of paper, that's what Medinsky says, it's not worth signing or anything. It just, it's primarily negotiations to for the diplomatic reason. And what I stated from the get-go, that Russia is going to be pulling the gonads of this Tomcat for as long as it takes. You know, Russian diplomacy is really good at that. But the reality is that, you know what, Trump and European Union, whatever the relations now, which are really deteriorating, but it doesn't mean that they will be broken. I don't think so, between United States and European part of NATO. But it's, yeah, Trump could have done it all before, as we're going to be going back to, and you know, to the square one. And the more it continues, and I will repeat it again, as I'm stating for the last at least couple of years, Russia can do it as long as it takes. Because in order to understand why Russia can do this as long as it takes, because you need to know what Russia is, what Russian economy, Russian military industrial complex are. Most people in Washington don't. Most, not all, but most don't. And they do not understand how to even handle this. And the question is that, as of today, Russians are 20 kilometers from Sumy. So, it was predicted by me. The moment, you know, if you probably remember, I love internet. It maintains records. You know, the moment they invaded Kursk region on the August 6th, last year, I said immediately, that's it. Sumy is gone for them, you know, but there are many people, especially imperial general staff, you know, the British, you know, it's not imperial really, but whatever they call it, office of the general staff, they're a bunch of morons, amateurs, you know, so they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. Neither did Pentagon and those people, you know, like Kavoli and whoever sits in Rammstein and whatever, Zhezhov, where they run those operations, that tells you everything. Well, Russians are 20 kilometers from Sumy, and Sumy being evacuated together with pretty much bulk of the whatever will be remaining of Sumy Oblast. 202 hamlets, towns, villages are mandatory evacuation. And so we have that. We have the real activity all along the front. And, well, the more United States continues to pretend that it has some power to influence that, the more of Ukraine will be lost, you know? And that already happened, that the United States was humiliated militarily. This is what pretty much most of the propaganda machine of the United States is trying to spin it, like somehow it's, you know, something which it is not, but it is what it is. And Russians are openly laughing now. And my gosh, if you read Russian media and what Russian real professionals say, real professionals, not this garbage which they love to quote from those Telegram channels, much of them who are shysters, basically. So, and it's pathetic. They don't understand the level of humiliation they are openly laughed at. You know, U.S. military is laughed at. I mean, the Pentagon, the Washington, D.C., State Department, things like that. And just if Trump wants to continue with this, good luck. And but don't forget, and you are correctly stated, but not quite. Iran is a very important point in Russian considerations. But yes, obviously, it's secondary to what Russia does. But it's still Iran is a strategic ally of Russia. And Russia will do everything to prevent any kind of the conflagration there. And if need be, she will provide some, you know, defense for Iran. But do not forget, Russians are playing for the global south. Russia and Russian people don't care about Europe. They don't care what Europeans think about Russians. They don't care how they treat Russians. They don't care if they hate Russians. Russians care about the overwhelming majority of the rest of the world, which is called Global South, if we kind of use this. And Global South, and Vladimir Putin already stated that he knows it better than anybody else, that Global South already, there are so many countries which actually, as we speak, changed their, you know, allegiances, if you wish. Many people do not want to deal with the combined West, represented by the United States and Europe at all. And if we look at answer, what is combined West? It is about, I would say, 800 million people. So what is the rest of the world? Well, 7.8 billion people. So you see the difference, right? So immediately that's what is the game is all about. And Ukraine, just one of the links, which I constantly state in this strategic chain of the events. And Iran is critical here in this respect for Russia, and Russians will not allow it to the best of their ability. Obviously, it doesn't mean that Russia will openly go, you know, to fight on Iran's behalf. And I don't think Iranians would even want to do that. But Iran is the critical element of this. And obviously, we may only surmise or assume from what those generalities, platitudes, which are always stated after these talks, that Trump is afraid to attack Iran. He tries to probably, he still thinks that he's so amazing, so influential, his power, that say, oh, yeah, we're going to attack Iran. And Putin said, no, you're not. And he probably indeed asked help to resolve it, because he is totally enslaved by the neocons. And we can see the old pattern emerging from Trump when, although he doesn't have now that much of the pressure from the DNC, Democratic National Committee, and there, you know, what Chihuahua media and, you know, BLM and all kinds of things like that. No, he is now being beaten by the, you know, baseball bats by the neocons and all kinds of the warmongers in his administration. And so he has always failed. He is a failure. He only can talk. And even MAGA now crowd says, you talk much. Where's the beef? You know, where's the beef? Well, there you go.
Andre, the outcome, one of the important outcomes of this talk between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, is that Putin confirmed that they're going to attack, they're going to respond to what has happened in Russia.
Yeah.
And what's your understanding on the importance of what has happened with the drone attack? I'm not talking about the exaggerated form of that the mainstream media tried to picture for all of us, and then they have destroyed everything. But when it comes to attack on nuclear bombers, this is, everybody knows that they're keeping these bombers in the open because of those treaties. And they can monitor this. They can give the directions to the Ukrainian drones to attack them by the United States and the British government.
Well, don't forget, sadly, which is actually, it's important from the PR, it's PR trick. Russians, realistically, we know only about two completely destroyed aircraft, which are Tu-95MMCs. The other three were damaged, so most likely they will return to service after the proper repair. What is the most horrible about this? That this PR attack somehow eclipsed what happened 24 hours prior, which was attacked on the civilian trains. There are 130 casualties on the train, passenger train, which has been sabotaged, which the track has been blown up and the bridge, you know, fell on the locomotive and all that. So, yeah, Marco Rubio went out and, yeah, he expressed condolences, but Europe didn't. And what is people do not understand? We can sit here and, yeah, kind of split here about the semantics that, oh, yeah, theoretically, bombers are legitimate target, which they are not, because precisely because the United States, the treaty, which they have to keep them in the open. Again, largely it failed. But what about those terrorist acts, which are pure sheer terrorism? It is the same as the Russians know who is behind the Crocus City atrocity, which killed. It's London. And obviously CIA knew that. Obviously they were doing this through the ISIS, you know. This is all same old, same old. Maybe Mossad somehow involved. So, and in this case, I think Russians had enough. And what Vladimir Putin stated today is, it's really, probably Russians will go now after Zelensky, and just Russians can actually kill all political top of Ukraine if they want to. And we'll see how they will deal with this. But I don't know. There will be retribution, obviously. In fact, yes, if you look attentively for the last, I don't know, 3-4 days, it's just relentless. I mean, it just, the obviously Russians are running, as you know, constantly out of missiles and all that. But somehow, you know, that continues. And you look attentively at the critical cities like Odessa, for example. Odessa, for the last 2 nights, it's just nonstop. And it French contingent there of those volunteers have been attacked. They have been wiped out. Germans have been wiped out. So, and yeah, we don't know what is their communication, which does exist. We know there is some back channel which is open between Russians and Americans. But United States better put its act together, because in this case, I don't think that Russians are interested anymore when talking to Americans, because they know they will be cheated and stabbed in the back. And that is why even Trump today, in his whatever the Twitter or Truth Social, whatever the hell the name of this social, yet another social network, he spoke that, yeah, there is a long road to real peace. That's what Vladimir Putin told him, that you don't want to play by the rules, so you're not going to play at all. We're going to, you know, so. And even Trump evidently recognized it. I don't remember exact verbiage, wording of this, but that's what he said. Yeah, we didn't discuss it. And you absolutely correctly noted, they didn't discuss memorandum. There's nothing to discuss. It's either Russia's way or highway. And it has been since the start of the special military operation, you know. And okay, take it or leave it. What can I say?
Andre, right now in the United States, there, as you mentioned, neocons are pushing for more aggression, for more sort of new policies, new aggressive policies toward Russia. We had Lindsey Graham together with Blumenthal, and we had Pompeo going to Odessa. Oh, yeah. These people are somehow, we thought that these people would not be in charge if Donald Trump wins, but these people are getting much more momentum in the Trump administration as we talk. And we see what was so much amazing to me, that you don't see those people who were somehow considering the situation in Ukraine differently from the neocons. They're getting weaker at times goes on as time passes for this administration.
Well, neocons are militarily incompetent, as is true for the most of Pentagon. Those people do not understand what they're dealing with. That they never won a real goddamn, pardon my French, war. They don't know what it wins something, okay? They beat the crap out of the basically backward, semi-literate as Saddam force, and they think, oh my God, we committed, you know, just something, nothing changed, absolutely. They just beat the inferior army, which was expected. So, and yeah, they don't know what combined arms operations of this scale is. The arms race has been lost, which I am on record for the last, 8 years. So, and when you look at this, yeah, they can continue to play whatever they want. The only thing they know how to do, they're not good military leaders. There are none, do not exist. American military doesn't produce great military leaders, period. They don't have it. What they have, the Keynes, Petraeuses, Kellogg's, you know, McChrystal's, you know, all those weirdos who go through all this, you know, military motions there to get to their general rank, but evidently they have no understanding of the warfare. They have no understanding, considering the fact of the extremely low STEM level of the U.S. military, of the connection between the technological development and doctrines. So, and as a result, and especially in the country which doesn't know what general staff is, you know, the United States doesn't have general staff. As a result, you have those people who, it's, you know, look at Washington, it's just absolutely, it's a panopticon, you know. So, and panopticon, you remember what panopticon, it's the French idea of putting something, you know, what the prison, which has the cameras, you know, the basically guards could observe it 24/7. It was all exposed. And this is what is happening. They think that they are somehow, you know, political strategists and something like that. The whole world sees what is going on. It is panopticon. And panopticon eventually became the euphemism for the circus, actually. And so this is what it is. And it's a circus, it's a clown show, and Trump is incapable of, you know what, being the president. He is absolutely not presidential material. He merely is a showman, and he won. And that's the other tragedy of the American political system, which is breaking down as we speak, that actually the success is counted not by what you accomplished as the person, as the president of the United States. How much good did you do? Where do you make mistakes? No. It is counted merely by the fact that somebody won the presidency or won the seat in the Congress or won a seat in Senate, you know, and they say, oh, yeah, we are great. We just won, you know, some kind of, you know, political position. Well, result is I can win if I would put my, you know, basically heart to it. Imagine that. For example, obviously I cannot become the president, but for me to win things, I will go to any kind of the, you know, what type of the community or something like, you know, Christian Zionist. I will go out and I will say that I am pro-Israeli, to, you know, what I, so, and I will be lying through my teeth nonstop, saying one things to one people and others to the other. And that's how I will get elected. You know, this is what they do. They lie professionally. None of them accomplishes anything which at this stage can help the United States as the nation and majority of the American people, most of whom, they do not want what is happening. I'm not talking about, obviously, some part of this, you know, community or America. What are Americans today? Who are they? You know, what is their identity? Many of them are brainwashed, albeit it's a very pleasant dynamics that mainstream media are just dying, which they should die together with most of their staffs being charged as the war criminals, who they are, who they really are. But it's a process. And when you look at this, so here's Trump. I just told you, you know, Elon Musk, whatever, again, as I stated, whatever we think about the guy, and the guy is a fraud, but still he had enough guts to go out and, you know, saying that we promised this, nothing have been accomplished. Nothing. They said, what? We're going to cut down $2.5 trillion in waste. Well, he cut down probably about like few billion dollars. You cannot do this. You need to have the overhaul or new generation of the politicians coming, but it's impossible at present stage. And at this stage is I can only, quote incomparable Mr. Mencken from 1920 from the Baltimore Sun, that as our democracy is perfected, you know what, at some point of time we will have in the White House that we will realize our people's heart desire, and the White House will be will have the moron in it, you know. So, and difficult to disagree. We arrive to the idiocracy. We're living in the idiocracy. And if not for the nuclear weapons, it would have been a tragic comedy, you know, essentially. That's what we have. Because it is comedy. It's dark, but it is comedy nonetheless. It's unbelievable.
Andre, it's somehow amazing how the British government is behaving. They were behind this terrorist attack on Russia, and right after that, Starmer came out that we are under attack. We have to get prepared. We have to build all our military. To these, I don't know how the public opinion in the United Kingdom is perceiving this, but this is a show. This is somehow these people are doing the terrorist act in another country, and they're talking about they're attacking us. Who's attacking him? Who's attacking the United Kingdom? Who's behind a proxy war against the United Kingdom? It's all the opposite way, but they're trying to picture the way that it's beyond imagination. I don't know if there is anybody in Europe buying this sort of, but maybe.
Oh, many do. The European population is really brainwashed. I mean, as much as there are problems with the United States, but at least for now, we have here the Constitution, we have the Bill of Rights, we have the First Amendment, and we have a very energetic and vital and viable alternative media, like yourself, for example, you know? So people do have their all kinds of the alternative sources. Europe is completely brainwashed. Most of the population in Europe believe all this garbage which they are, you know, told by TV, for example, Germans. And if you look at United Kingdom, the country where their tabloid culture is entrenched there, where they read the Sun or, you know, whatever the Daily Mirror or whatever the hell those tabloids are. They literally write things about, you know, what strategy, and then about aliens, you know, what abducting the body of Princess Diana or something like that. They discuss lingerie. That's what they are. And in this case, expecting that those people will react, apart from the fact that there is no United Kingdom is not has nothing to do with democracy. I mean, especially if they want to really have some kind of democratic government, they should dissolve the Chamber of Lords. You know? But the point is, United Kingdom is not even serious economy. It's pathetic. It's the only what I call G7. This G7 is just a joke. Country which will not have soon their own metallurgy. And it's probably somewhere in the bottom of the top 20 economies in the world, you know. And don't, as I already stated, remove Rolls Royce and a couple other of enterprises there. It's a third world country. And whatever Starmer thinks, he needs to survive. British elites, they hate Russian gods. They still believe that they're somehow incredible. But in reality is, if you look at the utter degeneracy, I don't know, it's probably incest in some sense, because they look like degenerates. Most of them are anyway. And when you look at their institutions which prepare them, Bojo, you know, Liz Truss, I mean, they are cretins, basically. You know, they have cretinism written all over their faces, but they are really great guys, you know, evidently with those wonderful credentials from all those, you know, elite schools. Eton, you know, oh yeah, they go to Oxford, you know, oh my God, I graduated some little. Bojo has their degree in literature. So he was it's a circus, complete, utter sheer clown show. And they wanted it. Europeans wanted it. Anybody who tells you today that, oh, we didn't want that, you know what? You voted for it. Well, they say, oh, we have been manipulated. But it was you who have been manipulated. Did you do your homework? Did you try to take alternative point of view? Did you try? I understand. We all fight. We all need to, you know, earn our living. We all need to earn our, you know, paycheck to pay bills and things like that. But instead of sometimes using some type of the activity which to develop your brain, nothing wrong with just reading alternative sources and comparing. No, we all go and read the tabloids. We're all going to be discussing the lingerie on some whatever the hell they have, BBC, you know, all kinds of crap like that. And then they expect like, oh, my God, we have been screwed. Of course you were. What did you expect? You didn't inform yourself in terms of what you want and who you are electing and what is happening with your country. And now they only think, OK, yeah, United Kingdom will disintegrate. We know that. And it's not only because of the Scotland, it just you look at them. Same goes for the most European countries. You voted for it. This is simple as that. You voted for this. You bear responsibility. Democracy was always, perceived as the, you know what, nobody's responsible for anything. Actually, not true. This is actually works the other way around. And collective responsibility was always the case throughout the history. Yeah, I'll give you an example. Post-World War II Germany, guess what? Well, Western allies did the job on them, don't they? They turned them into, well, basically mancords. That's what they are. So, and in this case, what can I say? It doesn't matter what they think. The only thing they do is the political show, and this is the only thing they can do because the system itself, it's tautology, essentially, you know, like buttery butter. But system has a systemic problem, and it cannot be resolved by normal means. There is not a single person in elite who would say, do something about it, because the combined West elites, military, political, generally are degenerate and incompetent, and they are essentially, you know, riding this systemic crisis, of the which we'll say classic Western imperialism, it finally met its end.
Andre, two forces are right now in Washington are so much pushing for more escalations in the war in Ukraine. One of them is pushing for more sanctions. They're talking about 500% secondary sanctions on Russian energy, which we know what would be the target. The target would be China and India mostly.
Yeah.
And then finally, we're going to see Europe coming in as one of the targets. Your understanding on the way that they think that China, I don't see China getting along with these sort of policies, but India and China, how do you see the way that they're going to respond? Does Europe know they're going to be the target of these sanctions?
I don't know about Europe, and nobody cares anymore. Russia is transferring, it's in the progress as we speak, you know, primarily all the streams, so to speak, of the hydrocarbons are, and energy in general are going to the east, to the Eurasian landmass. Oh, they can do whatever they want. I mean, they can impose whatever taxes tariffs they want. It's not going to do them much good. In fact, is as always, it will hurt United States primarily and Europe, absolutely. So pure military escalation, they have no resources to escalate to anything. So they don't have, I laughed at, again, Truth Social, recent tweet by Trump that, oh, yeah, we stockpile weapons like never before in history. And I mentioned it, that Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Harry Stimson, and George Marshall, people who were responsible for the American military economic development during World War II, would be spinning in their graves when they were listening. And I gave the numbers. Sure, the guys who built 99 aircraft carriers, 2,700 Liberty ships, you know, the 12,700 B-17 bombers alone. So it's like, yeah, sure. They cannot build tanks, you know. And I No, circus. Okay, I have no idiocracy. We live in idiocracy. We arrived to it. Okay, we literally live. American political, military, economic elite are imbeciles. Most of them are. They're cretins. That's what you get when you corrupt your education and destroy it by all kinds of the, you know what, self-aggrandizing rhetoric. And as I already stated, I presented to you recently, I mentioned and I wrote about it. She reads strategy in, you know what, in Naval War College. Sarah Payne, she has no clue what she's talking about modern Russia. She doesn't understand it. She's a very good storyteller. That's about it, you know. So, and you ask them, anybody of them, on substance, what is going on? Do I understand what is going on? Most of them do not have toolkit to grasp it. When you have degree in history, you do not have the toolkit to grasp the development on the level of the geostrategy, if you wish, of the what is essentially in the foundation of modern geopolitics. All this was correlation of forces and means. And we suddenly recognized, even the, as I already stated, in the parameters, the main U.S. Army War College magazine, which writes that we need to back to STEM, you know, STEM and M, which M also management. We need to go back to those basics, you know, of mathematics, physics, you know, engineering things to understand how it's happening. They don't. You cannot explain to political scientists how the, pardon my French, the damn, you know, toilet works. Most of them will not understand, and then you have to explain to him what is the real, you know, rook, rock, you know, recon strike or recon fire complex, how it works, how the information is processed. Not all those drones, but in reality, what a Kalman filter is, you know, what is the, you know, all kinds of the laws, you know, which guide the development of the weapons, how the air defense works. It's a lot of math. It's a lot of things which you need to understand on the, from the engineering point of view. They don't. They don't. Many look at the American media. They still don't understand what hypersonic weapons is. They think that ballistic missile, because it flies, you know, with the speed of whatever 20 to 27 Mach, is a hypersonic weapon. And I know how you can call it. We reached the what is called the Dunning-Kruger pinnacle in the West. And Dunning-Kruger, obviously, it's to translate it in very simple terms, is you cannot to explain to moron that he's moron because he's moron. You cannot to explain to Washington DC that they are morons, let alone European Union. You cannot explain to them they're morons because they are morons. They will not understand that they don't know things, you know, they don't know things which are required for the modern statesmanship. They don't know, well, I mean, volumes have been written since the 18th century, actually, regarding their, the only thing they know, they read, you know, Machiavelli's Prince, and they know that somehow they understand modern politics. Is it nothing? You know, yeah, it's like applying Sun Tzu or applying Clausewitz to the modern net-centric battlefield, okay? How can you even apply it? It's all good and funny, you know, when you study it and for the sake of the development of the, you know, intellectual apparatus to apply somehow. But look at modern battlefield, look at modern economies. They are enormously complex, enormously. You know, they're just producing their aircraft, commercial aircraft. I mean, it's the level of the technical expertise. You cannot explain it again. You cannot explain it to the graduate of the Ivy League from all those political science things. They have no clue.
Yeah. Andre, the other force in Washington is pushing for sending more weapons to Ukraine. Here is what General Jack King said on Fox News.
Part of the peace process exhibited by the United States to leverage someone to change their behavior. We've got to do the same thing with Russia. It is part of the process. It's not outside the process. And that means we got to leverage him. And we don't know if that will actually work. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
But we do know what is not working. And just the diplomatic talking is not working. So the leverage has got to be, I think, number one, military assistance. and give them the robust air defense systems and the other things they desperately need. Let's leverage Putin just as we did Zelensky. We don't know, let's be frank, if it's going to work, but it certainly is worth a try at this point, yeah, because diplomatic talks are not getting us there.
What is a robust air defense system that they haven't provided yet?
Yeah, there are two idiots sitting in the Fox studio. Mr. Kim wouldn't understand what air defense is because United States doesn't have any. That's the issue. They don't understand. The Patriot Pact 3 is a joke. And I quote Mr. Semyonov. I mean, they tried. There are more than around 50, actually, they say now, that have been destroyed. They cannot defend itself, as Mr. Semyonov, which is unlike Mr. King, has a PhD, as a matter of fact, in what amounts to STEM and military, you know, the sciences, who is the deputy commander of the Russian Space Airspace Forces. This is the level Mr. King has no clue about even. He wouldn't be even able to touch it. And he told it, and I quote, Patriot Pact 3 cannot defend itself, let alone defend anything else. And so what robust is, there are no robust air defense systems in the NATO arsenal. Jack King has to go and freaking go back to their first year in some kind of, you know, basic course in military academy, whatever the one he can find in the United States, which properly teaches its officer corps. So he has no clue. He's no engineer. The only thing he knows are those general platitudes he spews, like most of American generals do. They, again, they don't know what modern operations are. And that is why when they look at this, that they live in this fantasy world, and no, United States doesn't have any. If he wants to provide more of the Patriots, as Russians say, well, please give us that. Because some people also need to pay, you know, mortgages in, you know, in Russian military. They would love to deal with that too. It's pathetic. If you look today and listen to all videos, there are hundreds of them. I cannot emphasize enough about actually Russians, Russian Air Force, Russian bombs, Russian missiles, and, you know, flying all over Ukraine. You do not hear even a single launch of the missile, air defense missile. You know why? Because most of them, all those air defense complexes have been destroyed. Those who hasn't been destroyed, they are afraid to turn on their what is called high voltage, because they will be immediately detected and they will be killed. And the only thing they can do is run. They constantly move them, whatever is left. So that's not air defense. He can send another 100 packs, you know, pack threes. There will be very many happy, you know what, Russian Air Force and Rocket Forces people who would gladly oblige and kill them. They cannot intercept anything more than long-range fire. Cannot. Zilch. They just simply do not know how to intercept. Forget about hypersonic weapons. They cannot intercept even the modern salvo of the modern, even subsonic cruise missiles. And that has been completely demonstrated. That has been exposed. And that is why when I say United States lose the arms race, air defense, which he talks about robust, is a joke. But again, Houthis, remember they attacked Aramco facilities in 2019? Yeah, and they were flying their, you know, cottage industry drones, and yeah. So it's becoming nauseating to listen to this garbage, and they are desperate. And so that's why Trump called today Putin. He understands, he senses. I don't think he's that rational, but he senses that things are going really badly. And he screwed up because, you know why? Russians, and as represented by President of Russia, Vladimir Putin, Putin won't believe a single word from Trump's mouth. Simple as that. You cannot sign anything with United States or with the West. It's not worth the paper it's signed on. So as the result, we'll wait and see. Hey, popcorn time. And as I already stated, Russians can do this all day long for many years.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Andre, for being with us today. Great pleasure.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye.